Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Monday, January 29th, 2018. I'm your host, Scott Burton. It's great to have you with us. On today's show, Elaine Schroeder will preview a video party sponsored by 350 Juno about fossil fuels and the Permanent Fund. Sandra Williams and Amy Smith will preview the play My Life with Autism. Leela Stevenson and Tressa Malam will outline AWARE's children's programs. Mercedes Munoz will talk about Canvas classes, and Mike Godkin will preview his first Friday solo show, and we'll get the details about a workshop for the CD Museum's 12x12 art exhibit. Those interviews, National Native News, Bird Note Music, and more right here live and local on a Juno afternoon, currently 25 degrees in the capital city.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency announced Friday it was suspending its effort to withdraw proposed restrictions for the Bristol Bay watershed in Alaska for mining and will seek additional public comment. The EPA stated mining likely poses a risk to natural resources. Native and environmental groups, which are fighting the proposed large open-pit copper and gold pebble mine, were among those to react to the news. Alana Hurley is with United Tribes of Bristol Bay.
These proposed protections, the fact that the Trump administration is choosing to keep them in place and keep them on the shelf is a recognition Pebble Mine is too toxic even for the Trump administration.
In a statement, Pebble Limited Partnership says the announcement does not change plans for the mine. Reporter Daisha Eaton tells us more about the project.
Pebble Limited Partnership spokesperson Mike Heatwool says there are several notable changes to their plans in the application.
The size difference compared to our early estimates of 12.7 square miles is now at about 10.7 square miles. We've been able to make the facilities in and around the proposed mine site more compact. We're proposing a natural gas pipeline from the Kenai Peninsula across Cook Inlet and then under Eliomna Lake in order to get natural gas to our mine site in order to run our electrical generation.
In addition, the application shows the company wants to build roads, an ice-breaking ferry, and a port on Cook Inlet to transport minerals out. The Army Corps will select a third-party contractor to administer the environmental impact statement process. Then they'll move into the scoping process, which is where the public can weigh in. Alana Hurley with United Tribes of Bristol Bay, a group opposing the mine, says the permit application confirms their concerns.
There is no way that the current application will not impact salmon. We're still talking about tons of toxic waste that would have to be stored forever at the headwaters of our watershed, miles and miles of road and pipeline, a mega port. It's still a mega mine.
She says even as the project moves into the permitting stage, the resistance to the proposed pebble mine isn't going anywhere.
You know, this is really a national issue. It's a global issue. And we need people from across the nation to weigh in and help us protect this global resource for future generations.
The application became public in early January, and the permitting process should unfold over 2018. In Anchorage, I'm Daisha Eaton.
Canada's Minister of Indigenous Services recently gave an update on challenges facing her department. Dan Karpinchuk has more.
The Minister of Indigenous Services, Jane Philpott, also laid out the goals of her new department. Its aim is to improve the quality of life and help move the centralized approach away from the federal government in Ottawa, where all decision-making takes place. The Prime Minister announced last summer that he was splitting the Indigenous Affairs Department in two, with the former handling land claims and self-governance. And Philpott's new department has taken over programs on health, child welfare, education, and infrastructure. Philpott says the ultimate goal in each of these areas is to eventually turn over responsibility to First Nations organizations.
We know that the way forward is self-determination, and one of the best examples of that is in British Columbia, where we have seen the tremendous success of the British Columbia First Nations Health Authority, which has entirely taken over the leadership, the management, and the delivery of health services for First Nations in British Columbia.
Philpott also says child welfare on reserves is a main priority and lack of money for education. On that issue, she says high school graduation rates on reserves are half what they are in the rest of Canada. She also says there are shortfalls in infrastructure on reserves, with overcrowded, dilapidated housing and shortages in water treatment facilities. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by the Heard Museum, hosting the 28th Annual Hoop Dance World Championship, where you can see more than 70 talented native hoop dancers vie for the championship title February 10th and 11th. Details at heard.org. Support from AmeriCorps Vista, whose members fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining skills, with rewarding service opportunities around the country and info at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, January 29th, 2018. I'm your host today, Scott Burton, and joining me in the studio now is Elaine Schroeder, wearing her 350 Juno hat. Welcome to the show, Elaine.
Thank you.
It's nice.
I actually don't have a hat on, but...
You wear a few different hats in the community, right?
I do.
So 350 Juno, if people don't know what it is, tell us.
Well, 350 Juno is the local chapter, you could say, of a global organization that is a climate activist organization. There's over in called 350.org, founded by Bill McKibben. And there are over 250 groups in the States, right around there, or in the U.S., not included. So there are 350 groups all over the country and all over the world. And we are one of them. And we've been going for about 8 months.
And
yeah.
Remind me the other hat that you wear in the community. You are indeed a doctor, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm a PhD-type doctor. I'm a psychotherapist, and I was in private practice until I retired.
Okay.
And I'm also active in some other organizations, like campaigning for funding for the new JAK. But we won't talk about that today.
How do you go from psychotherapy to planet health, if I may ask?
Well, to be honest, I've always been an activist. And so when I was in college, I was active around the Vietnam War and very active in the women's movement. So it's in my blood, I would say, to work on social justice issues. What's interesting is I had not been that active on environmental issues. I've been peace and justice issues mainly. And I realize I read the literature, I read the science, and I am a behavioral scientist, and I read the science about climate change, and I realize that beyond a doubt, it's the biggest threat to humanity, and I got to get on board.
Okay. So one of the next events is this Wednesday night, right?
Yes. So this Wednesday, January 31st at 7 p.m., we're going to have a climate resistance watch party. And you may wonder what the heck that is, but it's going to be at Northern Light Church. And it's going to be, and we're calling it an almost live-streamed event, in Washington, D.C., on January 31st, which is the day after Trump's State of the Union speech. There'll be over 1,000 people in an auditorium in D.C., and they will be hearing leaders from the climate movement, climate resistance movement, from all over the U.S., including Bill McKibben and Bernie Sanders and numerous other leaders. And there'll be entertainers, and it's going to be live streamed. Now, you can't watch it at home. You've got to go to a live stream watch party, and this is ours in Juneau.
And so the thought, I'm assuming, is just we have to have social, we have to get together to talk about things like this? Is that why
Well, the point is to act. You know, we can hear a lot, we can read a lot, but we darn well better do something about it, or we're sunk. And we are really sunk in Alaska because our climate is warming at twice the rate. And just moments ago on the radio, I heard on K2, while I was waiting for the program to start, a discussion of how the permafrost is melting and what the implications of that are. And not only is it going to destroy infrastructure in northern villages, but it's releasing tons of methane at a rate that will increase rapidly the rate of climate disruption.
So on Wednesday, it looks like the title is Fossil Free Now. Is that right?
Fossil Free Now.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, And what are a few things you're going to focus on, or do you think the live stream is going to focus on?
Well, what we're going to do is we'll start right away. It's at 7 o'clock showing. It's an hour-long live stream of this big event that's happening in Washington, D.C., and it's where speakers will discuss where we're at today in the climate movement in the U.S. And I think they'll talk about, it'll be very interesting, I think they'll talk about Europe, and they're going to take a look at how we compare in the U.S. to other more progressive countries, countries that read the scientific literature and get it. And I spent some time in France this fall and was just very impressed about what they're doing around reducing carbon emissions. So they'll be talking about where we're at today and what they see as the path ahead in our fight for 100% renewable energy. Then we're going to have a discussion. We're also going to introduce 350 Juno's campaign for divesting the Alaska Permanent Fund from fossil fuels for both economic and ethical reasons. Isn't that wonderful? So fossil fuel stocks are nosediving while the rest of the market is going up, 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 and they're losing value. And so we're arguing on economic grounds that we need to divest from fossil fuels to give us bigger checks.
Like you said, you've been to Paris or France anyway, and you said they're doing good things. You live here in Juneau. What are we doing well in Juneau, and what can we do better?
Well, tonight, I'll give a plug for tonight. Show up at 6 o'clock at City Hall, and there is the meeting of the Committee of the Whole that will be talking about the Juneau Energy Plan. 80% renewable by 2045, and that should be passed without question. I mean, we're fighting for 100% by 2045, but the energy plan is more modest, and it's an aspirational plan. And if you could come out, nobody's going to testify, but we'll have little badges to wear. So that's what we're doing locally, in addition to electric cars. There are a couple of groups working on this in Juneau, and it's fabulous, but we really need to encourage our city assembly members to get on board. Cities all across the United States are going, their goal is 100% fossil free by 2050.
An example of that, electric buses, for is something that they could do. Right?
Oh, we could do electric buses. We're pushing for city electric buses. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So 350 Juno will be meeting on Wednesday at Northern Light United Church at 7. When do you have other meetings?
Well, we have a steering committee of about 10 people, and we meet regularly, and then we put on events for the rest of the community, and occasionally we will have general meetings. So we don't have a regular general meeting.
Okay. Where's the best place to find you online?
350 Juno at Gmail, or our Facebook page, 350 Juno.
Okay. Elaine Schroeder, thank you so much for telling us about this party on Wednesday night. Fossil Free Now starts at 7 at Northern Light United Church. 1 hour of live streaming, then discussion and food afterwards.
Discussion and pizza and food, and we're calling it a party because it is a party. Okay.
Anything else you want to add, Elaine? Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, and don't forget, on February 15th, Rick Steiner will be coming to speak on at Northern Light Church at 7 p.m. on divesting the Alaska Permanent Fund from fossil fuels. So events coming.
And you'll come back and remind us about that, right?
I sure will.
All right, thanks, Elaine.
Thank you.
Well, my daddy came from coal dust, and me, I'm about the same. If you read King Cole's ledger book, then you've seen my family name. It used to take a camp of miners to load that train and go. Now there's four in my crew, and we do what we do to keep your dirty lights on. Keep your dirty lights on. Keep your dirty lights on. If you got money in your pocket and a switch on the wall. We'll keep your dirty lights on. Well, Daddy worked in darkness, me in broad daylight. Hot blow seemed like Daddy never dreamed using Nobel's dynamite. As long as it's cold in them mountains, we're gonna burn it up till it's gone. Well, we can't stop blowing mountain tops. You gotta keep your dirty lights on. Yeah, keep your dirty lights on. Keep your dirty lights on. If you got money in your pocket and a switch on the wall, we'll keep your dirty lights on. They talk how coal is clean. Well, coal is cheap, but coal's still black. It ain't never turning green. So plug your electric car in, charge it good and strong, and do your shopping online. We'll get you every time, just to keep your dirty lights on. Keep your dirty lights on. Keep your dirty lights on. If you got money in your pocket and a switch on the wall, we'll keep your dirty lights on. Keep your dirty lights on. Keep your dirty lights on. If you got money in your pocket and a switch on the wall,
the University of Alaska MPA Lecture Series presents Sexual Harassment in Alaska. How do we move forward? A panel discussion among legislators, experts, and leaders on Tuesday, February 6th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. in the KTOO building. Moderated by Beth Kurtula, former state legislator and director of the National Ocean Council, come and listen to these experts address this very timely issue. Panelists include legislators Ann McKinnon and Ivy Sponholz, Native leader Nicole Hollingstad, and the university's HR director Kelly McGee. February 6th, 5:30.
You're listening to a June afternoon here on January 29th, 2018. It's about 19 minutes past the hour. Joining me in the studio now are Sandra Williams and Amy Smith, and we're going to be talking about a presentation tonight at 6 p.m. at UAS, focusing on autism, titled Bait the Hook. Welcome to the show, Sandra and Amy. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Okay. Sandra, or Amy, should we start with you, the Alaska Autism Resource Center? What is it? And, yeah.
So the Alaska Autism Resource Center, we are a grant-funded program based in Anchorage, funded by the Alaska Mental Health Trust, and we are overseen by the Special Education Service Agency. And our primary objectives are to provide information and training to the residents of Alaska and connect individuals with resources to help support their families and their children. And so that is our primary objective.
And did you invite Sandra here?
So every year we do an Autism Insights speaker series. We bring a national speaker down from the lower 48 and tour them around Alaska. And this year we've invited Sandra Williams to come up and speak.
All right. Well, it's nice to have you here, Sandra.
Thank you.
Told me you're a self-advocate. Can you sort of tell our listeners about your experience with autism?
My experience with autism in the beginning and early life was the reason what motivated me to become a speaker. I grew up in more of an institutionalized setting, locked away, a lot more misunderstandings, over-medicated and restrained, those kinds of things. And as I pushed forward in my life and was able to get past and overcome a lot of those things, I then became a mother, and I ended up having four children all on the spectrum. That's where the autism started to come about, where they started to really look at me and say, hey, wait, all these things aren't matching up, and really what really fits you is autism. And so through my children, I was correctly diagnosed. And then I began advocating for them and then learned how to advocate for myself and then became a national advocate.
You mentioned the word spectrum, and I understand it is a spectrum disorder. Is that
yes.
correct? Can you explain to our listeners, too, what that spectrum looks like?
The spectrum, I hate the terms high-ended and low-ended. To me, I think it's kind of degrading to go that route. I always like to say the more involved or less involved. More involved individuals means they have more challenges to break through the autism barriers, to be able to communicate to the world outside of them what they feel or what they want and desire. A lot of times they have stronger communication. Most people like to term that as behavior. I like to term it as stronger communication. And then we have ours that are less involved, and that means they sometimes can be more verbal. They have some more skill sets in their daily living lives that they can manage to take care of themselves somewhat. Doesn't mean that they don't present autism. It just means that it's less involved at different parts of their life.
Okay, and you're going to be talking at 6 p.m. tonight at UAS, and it's titled How to Bait the Hook. Tell us about that.
Well, as part of the National Speaker, I run across a lot of kids that I've worked with directly, and this one came about because one of the girls I used to work with loved SpongeBob, and it was a game that had where they were baiting hooks, and she just loved it, and it just started coming to me, you know, that the supports that individuals get in educational is often not matched with what they're wanting and what they're requiring for supports. So I created a presentation stating how to bait the hook and how do you let the children kind of bait the hook or give you ideas of what bait they may need as supports to help them be more successful in the environments.
Okay. It seems like we're hearing more and more about autism in the media and just in life in general. Is it because the incidence is going up, or is it our awareness of autism is going up, Amy?
Both the incidence is growing, and Alaska is on par with the national averages. But at the same time, the awareness is growing, and that's part of why the Alaska Autism Resource Center exists, is to provide that awareness so that parents and school providers can be aware of when to recognize the signs for early intervention, but also to provide those supports to help all individuals with autism access the world around them and interact with us just like everybody interacts with us, and to minimize some of those more involved limitations to provide that access.
Okay. Sandra, what are a few things our listeners should know about communicating with a person with autism?
A lot of times our individuals with autism, that especially those with more involved autism, are communicating very loudly. It's just that we often aren't looking for it because we're thinking it should come verbally. And many times our kids are communicating in multiple different ways. And if you just kind of really look and take a step back, you'll understand a lot of what they're saying. One of the strengths through my autism and my early childhood was I have a strong ability to decode what I call behavior. And so I often am called to come in and consult with, and they ask me to observe a child, and I can kind of decode it all and be able to help them understand that child differently. And it does turn the pages for those kiddos.
I bet. Can you give us an example of a few behaviors you might see that other people might not recognize?
A simple one, when sometimes a child may want to be playing with a toy or have an interest in a toy, they may not come over and pick up the toy and take it to you and ask you how do you play it. They may actually just kind of pace around it and flap over top of it and kind of come back and walk across the room and come back and flap over top of it again. And people might misunderstand that as, oh, he's stimming over whatever. But really what he's maybe saying is, I really am interested in this, but I don't know how it works. Or I maybe want to join the game, but I don't know how to interact or how to enter it. So I just kind of, I don't know, it's simple for me. What people say is complex is easy for me, and what is easy for others is complex for me. So,
okay. And as a person with autism, I understand that sometimes sensory can be different for a person with autism. Can you explain how that is sometimes?
I always describe it sometimes for me when I'm feeling sensory, like overloaded. It's like being expected to take the exam at a college, and it's a major exam, and then you have 10 TVs on in the room, all on different stations, and you have kids playing about in the background crying, and they're expected to concentrate. You just can't.
And that could be an everyday communication. Or...
And that's just with sound. There's lights, and there's different distortions of the lights, and the hearing and the processing is all very different and distorted, so it can come overwhelming for us.
Wow, wow. Okay, so the talk is tonight at 6 p.m. Have you been in Juneau before?
Never. And I was just telling her this was one of my bucket list things, wanting to always come to Alaska, and I'm finally here. So.
And Amy, will you give us more details on tonight, how long it's going to go and where it is and things like that?
It is at UAS this evening at 6 p.m. And about two hours. Yeah. So about 2 hours, and so we'll see you then.
Sounds good. What room is it in at UAS?
I am not positive off the top of my head, but it is on our website, which is www.alaskaarc.org.
And I think I just found it in my paperwork. Does the lecture hall, room 112, Egan Lecture Hall, sound about right?
Yes.
And can you give us that website once more for more information, please?
That website is www.alaskaarc.org.
And that's for the Alaska Autism Resource Center. Sandra, where can we find more information about the work you've done?
I'm all over Facebook. I have a lot of published materials out there. You can find me at hfa2@yahoo.com.
Hey, one last question. I guess this presentation tonight, who would benefit from coming, would you two say?
I would say families, educators, professionals that are out there in the field, and even individuals with autism may be able to enjoy the presentation, but it's more geared for families and educators.
Okay, that's the voice of Sandra Williams. She was joined by Amy Smith. You can meet them tonight, 6 p.m., out at UAS. For a talk on autism and how to bait the hook. Thank you both for coming into the show today.
Thank you.
This is Bird Note. The tiniest hummingbird and the 250-pound ostrich have at least one thing in common. Like all birds, they lay eggs, precision-engineered and wrapped in an exquisite shell made of calcium. That key ingredient, calcium, is needed on demand and in larger quantities than the female typically has in her bloodstream. So birds have a trick or two up their sleeves or in their legs. Just as their bodies form the first cells of an egg, the birds start to assemble a special stash of mostly calcium in the hollow space in their leg bones. It's called medullary bone. As the egg develops, that stored calcium is rapidly dissolved and sent from inside the leg to the shell gland, then formed into the new shell, ready for laying in the nest. Just how every bird species supplies or stores calcium for egg laying isn't fully known yet. Some birds appear to rely on other, more immediate sources of calcium, like consuming calcium-rich grit from the ground. And some Arctic nesting shorebirds have evolved an especially clever trick. Just in time for egg laying, they ingest the teeth and bones from lemming skeletons to stock up on calcium. Today's show brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation. I'm Michael Stein.
You're listening to a Juneau afternoon here on Monday, January 29th, 2018. We're right at the bottom of the hour. And joining me in the studio now is Katie Kuzmic and also Tressa Malam. They are children's advocates at AWARE, and we're going to be learning more about AWARE's children's programs. Welcome to the show, you two.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's nice to have you here. So AWARE's children's programs, outline that for us, if you would, Tressa.
Yeah, we do a bunch of different things. Primarily, we provide advocacy and support services for our kids and parents in shelter. Now that we're gender inclusive, I have to remember to switch that to parents. And we also provide groups and parenting classes and individual support advocacy stuff for kids who need just a little bit extra support and counseling as well. So just a whole array of stuff.
All right. Katie, tell us what you do as a fellow children's advocate.
Well, I work with the other two children's advocates, Tressa and Layla, and we co-facilitate the many groups that we do, which include... We have a Mommy and Me group for toddlers and their moms, which is a great opportunity for moms and kids to bond and have some time to play creatively, let the kids run. And we also have a tween life skills group, which is lots of fun. We get to take the kids out on hikes, and we play lots of fun games and challenge them and frustrate them.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And also individual advocacy as it's needed, which is a great experience.
Okay. A minute ago, Tressa, you mentioned in shelter. Mm-hmm. So do you provide services, obviously, for people in shelter. And what about people outside?
Yeah. We do support groups for moms or for parents. Trying to reintegrate myself into that language, for parents in the community and in shelter and at our transitional housing facility, CASE. And we do elementary, middle school support groups for kids. It's kind of like life skills. We focus on different topics and things to help kids learn coping skills, social skills, just all those kind of things that come along with us, because a lot of our children have experienced some extreme trauma in their life, and even little bits of trauma can feel really extreme and overpowering. And so it's really working on how to integrate that trauma into who you are and what you do, and how to best, you know, push forward and have fun and express your feelings in an appropriate way.
Sure.
And so that's open to everybody in the community. Our shelter families have first priority for mm-hmm. most things that we do. But we also, you know, have been operating a group for months now and have had very little attendance. So it's open to all kids who might have experienced child abuse, sexual assault, or domestic violence in their lives.
Katie, you mentioned the program Mommy and Me and creative play. What are some examples of creative play you encourage?
Right. And I just want to add that I, too, am catching up to using the correct terminology. And it, you know, we used to call it Mommy and Me. We might need to rethink that, and because it's parents, all parents. And some examples, like kids, there are hula hoops, there are huge yoga balls, and it's so funny to see what kids come up with when you just let them use their imagination and create games. Like, I'll be sitting on a ball, and a three-year-old will, like, come up to me and start stacking hula hoops on me, telling me that they're going to make me a rainbow. And they just are so entertained, and they're so creative, and it's really fun. So.
Okay. Tressa, what are some of the times that these classes take place?
Yeah, most of our groups are on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings from 6 until 7:30 at night, except for our Mommy and Me or Parent and Me group would be on Thursday mornings. That's a little different. And then all of our parenting classes, because we have quite a few different parenting classes and parenting support groups, are also on those Tuesday and Wednesday nights from 6 to 7:30 p.m. At the AWARE shelter in town. And there is limited child care available if needed for those families, because that can be hard. But ideally, if you... as a parent want to attend one of our groups, we would welcome your kids to attend the children's groups at the same time.
You've also mentioned a tween class.
Yes.
What are the ages for that again?
That is primarily focused towards our middle school and, like, freshman to sophomore age group kids. really that kind of branch between older elementary to transitioning into high school tween years, and it really depends on the kid and their development level, but we get into a little bit higher topics of discussion. Not quite that we do with, like, teens on our Teen Talk Tuesday, but still not necessarily like, what's sad, mad, real kindergarten things.
Do parents participate in that, or is that just for the kids?
It is primarily for the kids, yeah. We do occasionally offer some things where we do parents and kids all together, but those are usually special groups that we do with shelters residents as needed, and most of our groups are parents get some time to go through parenting topics and really whatever's stressing them day to day, because parenting is, like, extremely hard, as I'm sure most parents know, and everybody can use whatever support they can get. And kids need a place to, like, play and feel safe and have fun, and so we try to provide that for both of them.
And you did mention individual services for children. What do those look like?
Yeah, usually our individual services are usually for the kids in shelter. But we do occasionally offer that for kids outside of shelter as a crisis thing as needed. Like, it's kind of like a mentorship role. I'll meet with a kid in the community every week or every 2 weeks and just kind of see what's going on in their lives, check in with them. What can I help with? Is there, you know, things that they want to get involved in? What are their interests? What can I help? How can I help bring those supportive factors that they really need to build resiliency in their lives, and how can I help them bring that in? So I might meet with them and do things around the community that interest them.
Okay. Like you said, most of the groups meet on Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 6 to 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
For more information, where can our listeners go?
If you want more information, give us a call at 586-6623 and ask for a children's advocate, or email us at childrensprogram@awareak.org.
And if somebody needed to find that again, it's probably on the Aware AK website, right?
Yes. It's all on
or
our
Facebook
Aware website.
I think I found you on Facebook
or Facebook,
well.
Yep.
All right. That is Tressa Malam and also Katie Kuzmik. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Is there anything that either of you would like to add?
Just that we are always looking for volunteers to help us with childcare and to help us in some of our groups. So if you're interested in working with kids or getting some volunteer hours in, please, please fill out a volunteer application on our website or give us a call, because we'd love to help have you join our team and help us with some stuff.
All right. Tressa and Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Who are on the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dream, the one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh. Your elders grew by, and so please help them with yours. They seek the truth before they can die.
Teach your parents well their
children's hell will slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
Hi. This is Ray Troll from Ketchikan's Ratfish Wranglers. We're thrilled to play our fishy style of rock and roll in Juneau for the America's Salmon Forest Celebration on Friday, February 2nd at the Jack. On Thursday evening, we'll record a special one-hour TV concert at 360. We hope you can join us for both. Cameras roll on Thursday, February 1st at 7 p.m. at 360 in the KTOO building. Admission is fish. Free.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Monday, January 29th. It's about 20 minutes until the top of the hour. And joining me now in the studio is the director of the Canvas Art Gallery, Mercedes Munoz, and also artist and KAXLL and KRNN DJ, Mike Godkin. Mercedes and Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, Scott.
Thank you so much for having us.
Nice to have you here. So we're going to be talking about Mike's First Friday show. It's already First Friday this Friday, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. And also classes going on at the Canvas. Why don't we start with that, Mercedes? What's going on over there?
Thanks, Scott. Well, we have some fun classes coming up in February. If you're looking for adults, we have, as always, a beginning wheel throwing class, and that's filling up quickly. So if you've This is a great class if you've done some pottery before and you want to get back into it, if you want to just brush up on your skills, or if you've never touched a wheel or touched clay before. This class is really great for all skill levels. And the teacher, Alex Patello, he's our ceramic studio manager. He's a fantastic teacher. And he is also going to be doing a youth wheel throwing class. So if you have a kid that's interested in the same thing, and that's going to be taking place in the beginning of February and then moving into March just a little bit. And that's designed as an afternoon class. So you can go to school and then come to the Canvas afterward. And that class is from 3:30 to 5 during the weekdays. And then a couple other things we have going on. We have a teapots class that's going to be a two-day class on Saturdays with local artist Luis Kunstada. She does some beautiful teapots, so you could learn a lot from her. And we have a stained glass basics class taught by Rachel Jusler. Sorry about that. She works at the Jack, and she's taught a class at the Canvas before, and she's fantastic. So that's a fun one to check out. And lastly, we have a closed figure drawing class by Avril Valise, another local artist and Canvas regular. So those are some of the fun classes we have going on.
Okay. And then this Friday, the Mike Godkin Drawing Show opens. Mike, for our listeners, how would you describe yourself as an artist?
I did all kinds of stuff, like using pencils, like HB and colored pencils. I did graphite and colored pencils and this all kind. I like did some drawing and then also I did some painting with Crystal, used to be our teacher in residence.
Okay, and I'm looking at the image for the poster for the show of the Mike Godkin Drawing Show. How would you describe that piece for our listeners?
Beautiful.
I agree with that statement. There is a smooth fluidity to Mike's work, and his it's beautiful. He tilts the image as he's working so that it's not just in one direction, but there are these, like, they look like these smooth, large brush strokes, but actually they're done by pencil or charcoal, like a very fine tip tool, but he's rubbing it back and forth so frequently that it creates this blended effect that's really beautiful.
Mike, when did you start making art?
When did I start making art? Let's see. Do you know, Missy, when I started making art?
I don't, Mike. I've known you for 3.5 years, and I know you've been doing art the whole time I've known you, so probably a lot longer than that.
I've been doing art for a long time, Scott.
And I know you like music, too. Do the two go together for you, music and art?
Yes, because what I do is when I come to the campus on Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock, I always like to put on music so I can draw to music what drawings feel like, and I just like to just do it to music. That's all I like to do, Scott.
All right. And for our listeners who may not be familiar with When You're on KRNN, will you tell us about that?
Oh, well, I'm on KRNN usually three times a week with John McGean doing Cross Currents. We pick a theme, you know, like sometimes 80s, 90s, 70s, sometimes 50s, just depends. And sometimes we do some folk music and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
May I ask what you would describe as your favorite kind of music?
Rock and roll.
And what about when you're making art? Do you listen to rock and roll mostly, or?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Well, if I could just add to that a little bit. Mike, for those of you that know Mike or don't know Mike, he carries a handheld radio with him everywhere he goes.
Yes.
And in our art classes during the day, typically we play music on the surround sound, but during the class periods that Mike is there, I'm sorry, I've never called you Michael before.
Mike.
That Mike's there, the music is controlled by that handheld radio. So Mike chooses the station and plays the music in the classroom for everyone to hear. And, yeah, it's cool.
So you DJ for the art class, it sounds like.
Yes.
And you probably always choose KRNN, right, Mike?
Well, sometimes I... This depends what I feel like doing each time. Just, you know.
I hear you. About how many pieces do you have in the show that starts
14
on Friday?
Pieces.
Okay.
Right,
we
say 14.
That sounds about right.
Yes.
And you said colored pencils, paintings, anything else we should look for?
Just drawings in this case.
All right.
At this time.
All right. What time does the show start on Friday?
4:30 till 7. At the Canvas.
If somebody's never been to the Canvas, how would you describe how to get there?
Is it 223 Sewage Street?
That's correct. It's right across the street from V's cellar door on Seward there. So we're just up the street from Wells Fargo, down the street from the Capitol. And we'll be open at, or the show will be opening at 4:30. So please come and take a look. And I know lots of people already have their eyes on your work, Mike, so it's going to go quickly.
Yeah. And the phone number at the Canvas is 586-1750, or else they can go on canvasarts.org. Right, Miss Sadie? Canvas Arts?
That is correct.
All right, that's the Mike Godkin Drawing Show. That was the voice of Mike Godkin right there. We'll be presenting his art this Friday starting at 4:30, right, Mike?
Yes.
Okay, for more information, where can people go?
Canvasarts.org.
All right. As a music lover, Mike, I had you pick our out music. Yeah. Can you tell us about what we're about to hear?
Well, our out music's going to be, because I like that song, Hey There, Delilah, by the Plain White Tees.
Okay. And actually, Mercedes has one more thing she wants to add, and then we'll get to
Hey
There, Delilah.
Yes, thank you. I just want to add that this last Saturday, we had our annual fundraiser dinner at the Canvas. It was an extreme success, and we had more people in attendance than I believe we ever had before, and so many generous donations from the community, local businesses, and artists for our silent auction. I just want to thank all of the individuals and local businesses who donated, and especially Venetia and her staff at V's Cellar Door, who donated their time to make our dinner, and Justy at Pie in the Sky. She made a beautiful dessert, Tom Loker for playing music, setting the stage for that elegant evening, and Duck Creek Market and Alaskan Brewing Company for their sponsorship of beer and wine. That event was just made possible by the community, and we are so appreciative.
All right. Thanks again for coming on the show. That's Mercedes Munoz. Mike Godkin's in the studio as well, getting ready for the Mike Godkin Drawing Show this Friday. What song is this again, Mike?
The Plain White Tees, Hey There, Delilah.
All right. Thanks, you too.
Thank you.
Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. Times Square can shine as bright as you. I swear it's true. Hey there, Delilah, don't you worry about the distance. I'm right there if you get lonely. Give this song another listen. Close your eyes. Listen to my voice, it's my disguise. I'm by your side. Oh, it's what you do to me. 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 What you do to me. Delilah, I know times are getting hard, but just believe me, girl, someday I'll pay the bills with this guitar. We'll have it good. We'll have the life we knew we would. My word is good. Hey there, Delilah, I've got so much left to say. If every simple song I wrote to you would take your breath away, I'd write it all. Even more in love with me, you'd fall. We'd have it all. Oh, it's what you do to me. 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 1,000 miles seems pretty far, but they've got planes and trains and cars. I'd walk to you if I had no other way. Our friends would all make fun of us, and we'll just laugh along, because we know that none of them have felt this way. Delilah, I can promise you that by the time we get through, the world will never ever be the same, and you're to blame. Delilah, you be good and don't you miss me. 2 more years and you'll be done with school, and I'll be making history like I do. You'll know it's all because of you. We can do whatever we want to. Hey there, Delilah, here's to you. This one's for you.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Monday, January 29th. It's about 7 minutes till the top of the hour. In the studio now is Alyssa Borges. She's the Public Programs Coordinator for the Juno Douglas City Museum. Welcome to the show, Alyssa.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here. What's going on up at the museum?
Well, we've got several upcoming events that I'd like to talk about. We've got First Friday, this Friday. We have some continuing exhibits and a new exhibit as well. So Abel Ryan's show, Seeing Faces, is continuing this month, and he will be there again for an opening reception. So if you missed it and you really want to come and talk to the artist and see this incredible work and learn what it took to make these pieces and what they mean, it's a great time to come. It's really interesting to talk to him and hear what these pieces mean to him and what went into making them. So First Friday at the City Museum, 4:30 to 7 p.m., and that's a reception. We also have a continuing exhibit about the construction of the bridge, as well as the Capitol building. This is in conjunction with the library's Traveling Discover Tech exhibit. And it's pretty interesting to see these photographs of what the bridge looked like and the construction, and as well as these proposed buildings for the Capitol that never were accepted. It's really fun to see. So that's something to come and see as well. And our curator has been working really hard on some new permanent exhibits that are really fun, lots of interaction, they're shiny. And one in particular is called Life on Water. It's a kind of a maritime history of Juneau, and there's all kinds of things you can open. There's several shipwrecks that you can learn about and read and track on a map where they were, as well as just kind of a historical timeline of boating and ships and around the area. It's really a fun one. So lots to see at the museum, and really hope people come out on Friday and check out the shows.
Yeah, and so Abel's show is from 4:30 to 7?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, this Friday, first Friday. What are your general hours right now?
Right, so our hours are Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 4. And a lot of people don't know that winter admission is free. We have generous donors who provide that, so it's completely free through April.
That's great. If somebody has never been to the Juneau Douglas City Museum, how would you describe how to get there?
Yes. Well, it's on 4th and Main Street, so it's right across from the Capitol building there and kitty corner to the back end of the State Office building.
All right. Yeah. If somebody wants to keep in touch with what's going on at the museum, either digitally or otherwise, what's the best way to do that?
We have a newly revamped website that's just wonderful, and you can find that simply by Googling Juneau Douglas City Museum. We have current events, upcoming events, and permanent events, everything right on there. It looks great.
All right.
Yeah.
That's the voice of Alyssa Borges. She's the public programs coordinator at the Juneau Douglas City Museum. You can meet her this Friday night from 4:30 to 7 for the first Friday opening with Abel Ryan. Otherwise, free admission, 10 to 4, all winter.
That's right. What a deal, huh?
Excellent. Yeah. Alyssa, thanks for coming on the show. Anything else you'd like to add?
Do we have time?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I do. I would like to encourage people, if you are interested in submitting a piece to the 12 by 12, which is coming up really quick, this is our 14th annual community art exhibit. It's on the theme of seasons. We will be accepting submissions February 20th through the 24th during museum hours, 10 to 4. And I know that Sherry McDonald was on talking about her workshops, and we are collaborating with her. She still has some room. So if you are interested in taking her workshops, creating a paper collage for the show, it'll be ready to hang. Definitely call her. Her number is 209-7173. She has adult workshop on the 10th from 1 to 4, a youth workshop on the 17th from 9 to 11, and you can get all the details from her.
So this is the 12 by 12 show. I've heard a lot about it. Does everybody do their work on the same sort of canvas, if you will?
Right. Well, as long you can create it any way you want, as long as the finished piece with framing and everything, whether it's three-dimensional or flat, measures 12 inches by 12 inches by 12 inches.
And you mentioned that Sherry's going to be talking about collaging. Is the show all about collaging, or can it...
It's any medium that you're interested in using, it's up to the artist. And I would like to also state that the theme, seasons, is up to interpretation. So seasons can be seasons of the year, but it can also be seasons of life or sports seasons, whatever interests you, but it does need to be on the theme. And there is an entry fee of $12.12.
And remind us when the deadline for that show is?
The deadline to submit pieces is February 20th through the 24th during our hours.
And about how many pieces are you able to accept and show as part of that show?
That's a good question. We have a large museum, so or a large gallery where it'll be hanging, so plenty.
Okay.
Yeah. And that show opens March 1st, Friday. So that'll be a really fun reception.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Alyssa, thanks for coming on the show.
All right, thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.